Hey, everybody. Welcome to 2017 and welcome to another episode of Random Chatter. We are back after our holiday hiatus, and we are glad to be with you here tonight. I'm Eric, and I'm joined tonight by Lou. Lou, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right. And Chris? Chris, how you doing tonight?
I'm alive.
That is better than the alternative.
Yes.
In fact, yes. If you were not alive, it would be very difficult to have you on the podcast here with us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we would work around that logistical problem. So,
could be a problem.
I also survived 2016, so that's a plus.
That, you know, that's a bigger accomplishment than it may sound like.
Mm-hmm.
In more ways than one.
Sometimes I feel like I wasn't going to, but I'm here. That's what's important.
Well, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about 2017. We're going to look ahead, and we're going to discuss what we like at the box office and what we think is going to perhaps dominate this year. But first, I kind of wanted to take a moment and look back. You know, the Random Chatter Network has been around since 2005, so it's been 12 years of podcasting now. We're going on the 13th year. And Lou, you've been on the network for quite a while, many, many years.
Yep.
Chris, you're a little bit newer, but you've been podcasting with us for years. And I kind of wanted to take a moment to reflect back, but then also get your takes on your experiences so far over the last decade of podcasting, or however long you want to reflect back upon. One of the reasons that I kind of felt the urge to do this, I was going through a lot of the really old episodes of Random Chatter. And, wow. Because I'd been promising to post a few of them for the Patreon donors. And I was going through them, and I realized, you know, there are a lot of things here. And I don't have all of the episodes. I don't know why I thought I had everything. But I think between a few drive crashes and hosting changes and stuff like that, there are some episodes that have gotten lost in the shuffle. But we have the vast majority of episodes. And it was interesting because I wanted to go back and break down, like, where things got split up. Because as we talked about in episode 100 of Random Chatter, it wasn't actually the 100th episode of Random Chatter. It was kind of like with Marvel and DC Comics, where they run a title for a while, and then they reboot it, and they start back over at number one, but they label it volume two. And then they'll do that for a while, and then you'll get Captain America volume three, and it starts over at number one again, and it becomes this whole mess. We kind of did that. So episode number 100 wasn't so much our 100th episode as much as it was the first time that we stuck with it long enough to reach triple digits. So I was going back and looking through this, and we are actually going to post this publicly for everybody. We're leaking out a few episodes here and there for our Patreon donors right now. So if you are a Patreon donor of any level and haven't checked it out yet, Patreon.com/randomchatter. We're continuing to post some of the more favorite episodes there directly. And then pretty soon we're going to have a site wiki that's going to include links to everything, like everything. But this, what you're listening to right now, this is actually volume six of Random Chatter, which was kind of sobering and a little embarrassing. But it's interesting. But I realized how much I missed doing the movie reviews. We reviewed some really, really bad movies. Really bad. I think we need to go back to doing that again. We need to take a look to see how we can make that happen. But so real quick history. And I'm kind of doing this to buy time for Lou and Chris, because I kind of sprung this topic on them. They didn't know it was coming. Sorry, guys. So real quick history, though. The network started out with just me solo. I did that for a few episodes. I went over to do a show for the Force Cast. It wasn't the Force Cast at the time. It was the Force.net. And I'm going to be posting those episodes as well. And they suck. So it'll be fun
to at least you're owning it. You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I haven't listened to them in probably a decade. So I don't know how badly they suck, but I remember that, like, compared to now, they really suck. Then I went back to doing random chatter for a while in parallel with the Force.net. I stopped the Force.net at the end of 2005. I brought in two friends of mine that have been friends of mine since high school, Brian Wood and Jeff Stevens, in part because we lived close together, and it was we were able to get on the show physically together back before things like Skype and Google Hangouts existed. And so that was the first time we had discussion-based reviews, and that went much, much better than the solo stuff. Then we changed the name to Movie Survival Guide. Then we went back to Random Chatter for news and Movie Chatter for movie reviews. And, you know, there have been some different evolutions over the years. We had Andrew Johnson on for a while, who then he and Morgan went and did Movie Chatter. We've had Nathan Chase on for a while, who was also doing Lost Chatter with Lou, with you and me and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, let's see, who else did we have? Jay Shepard from Jedi Journals and from the better of the Random Chatter podcast, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. He was one of the primary hosts for a while. You and Jay actually kind of handled everything for a while after I went back to what was then the Forcecast.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. And
we almost got to our own 100 episodes.
Almost.
It's 99.
You got to 99. Yeah. So, yeah, but we made it, and we've got a network of some really good shows on. I'm really proud of the work that Chris, that you're doing with Cordcast, the work that Ernie and his guys are doing over at Retro Convo, and then Ernie and Mike and Lindsay have Ghost Stories. There's a lot of good stuff that we've got that. I'm really happy that we've kind of come to this place. And we've had a lot of other shows that I really kind of miss, too. Lost Chatter being one of them.
Mm.
Dead Chatter was a little bit short-lived, but it was fun. It's been quite a ride. But I was wondering, do you guys have... I've told some stories here and there, but do you guys have any moments either on a show or being part of a show... kind of a behind-the-scenes look, if you will. Any stories that really stand out in your mind? Any experiences you've had?
Lou, I'm going to let you go first.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, to be fair, Lou, you do have a few more years of podcasting on them, so.
Yeah, true. I mean, I started with you in probably 2007 or 8. I don't know if it was, you know, season 3 or 4 of Lost when we started doing that. You brought me in as a fill-in host from here and there, and then...
was it that long ago? So you've got almost a decade now, too.
I think so, yeah, because I was looking back at when seasons 3 and 4 were on. They were 2006, 7, and 8 was when some of those were on. And I started somewhere around season 4, I guess, so probably 2008.
Hmm.
I don't know, you know, I remember being excited and also not knowing when to breathe.
Yeah.
How do you do this? It's like
that's the thing. For those who don't know,
I remember holding my breath for. I'm like, okay, I gotta breathe. How do I do this? But no, it's a lot of fun, and you know, it was a way to get interactive with some stuff that I hadn't been interactive with before. So it was a lot of fun doing that. And otherwise, I mean, you know, it's given me a lot of access to a lot of stuff that's been great over the years, and it's great interacting with fans and, you know, going to things like New York Comic Con and seeing people there and, mm-hmm. You know, doing interviews and stuff, which is a lot of fun.
You mentioned conventions. Tell people about this whole, this badge debacle at Celebration. I don't know that we've ever publicly talked about that before.
The badge debacle at Anaheim?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't that much of a debacle, I guess. But
well, you went to Will Call, and
we did. Yeah, we applied for press badges, and yeah. I think a couple of us got them. A couple of us got turned. I think I was the only one who got turned down, actually, to tell you the truth. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. So when we were there the day before, and I was like, well, let me go over there and see if maybe they can just see if I can finagle my way into one. And you know, went up and kind of played dumb and said, yeah, I was supposed to get a press badge and didn't get one yet and this and that. And I had the exhibitor badge that Philip Wise had for us.
Right.
As part of, what was his company? What's the, it was for,
oh, for the picks. Autographs?
Yeah.
Official
that's
picks.
That's where the exhibitor badge is from, right? So, yeah. So up there, and I'm kind of playing dumb, and I'm good at that, by the way, and you know, trying to see if I can get a press badge, because it was really just about having the badge, because they're all differently labeled and they've got different pitches on. Like,
cool, I mean, you were in, and right. Once again, thanks to Philip for actually, you know, taking care of us and getting us into there. That was definitely awesome.
So you know, I'm kind of trying to press the issue, and she's like looking. She's like, no, I don't see anything here. I don't see anything. She goes, I got a staff badge for you. Okay, so I got a staff badge, which
to
was
be clear,
you know, being part of the staff of the people putting on the convention.
Yes, of Read Pop,
right?
Not of Random Chatter, not of Official Picks or Forcecast, but of the actual convention staff.
True, and you know, I was gonna try to push the issue with that too, because I can get in places I couldn't get to before, but I didn't want to get thrown out on day two of the convention, going, "You're not supposed to have that. You're gone."
Yeah,
I didn't want to take that chance, but. No, it was a lot of fun. So now I have a staff badge that I can proudly display, and I do flash that on camera sometimes here, saying, "Hey, look, hey,
yeah,
listen to me, I matter."
Yeah, and you know, you also mentioned figuring out when to breathe. When I first started doing the podcast, I know I've said this before, I scripted everything out, which took an eternity to actually write up a script and then record it. And then there were always things that you wanted to re-record because it didn't quite sound right, or you kind of tripped over your words as you were reading it. And I always read the stuff too fast, too. And so then you spend all this time editing it, and you edit out all of the white space, the dead air, the ums, the coughs, things like that. And even when we started doing discussions, when it was Brian and Jeff and I used to do that too. And then finally,
that takes a lot of time.
Oh my gosh, it was a nightmare. And then finally it got to the point where after listening to some other shows, I realized, you know what? Nobody else does this. And sometimes having that pause can be beneficial. It's either, it can be a dramatic pause, or it can be for emphasis, or sometimes it just gives the listeners a moment to process whatever it was you just said before you move on to the next thing.
Exactly. It more conversational. It feels
exactly,
you know, more natural. Although I do remember editing one episode of the Forcecast for Eric Geller, who I had to make. He kept coming, "Nope, can't change this, can't change that." I'm like, "Oh my God, it's really? It's like you're nitpicking here." But
yeah. Well, there's this desire to have everything be perfect.
Exactly.
And the more you want it to be a professional production, and, you know, and to a certain extent, I want it to be too. You know, I've invested in equipment. I've spent many years doing it. But really, at the end of the day, I just want it to be fun. I want it to be fun for us. And I want it to be interesting and fun for the listeners. And, you know, I'm never going to get a late night talk show on NBC out of this. You two might.
Wait a minute,
I don't
you're
know
not?
It. Yeah, Chris, you're up in the air. I mean, you might actually have better luck than I did, but no, I'm dead in the water here. But that's okay, because I enjoy doing it. We have a pretty dedicated following. We're growing. And, you know, we've been through lots of ups and downs, and we're still around. I mean, the thing to remember is there are a lot of different outlets that have been through ups and downs and are not. Still around. So, well, I mean, the Forcecast being one of them, but
right. I mean, you said it yourself, 12 years, that's an accomplishment all in itself.
Yeah. Chris, what is, looking back on your experience with podcasting in general, I mean, you're at the point now where you're definitely more comfortable on the mic. You run Courtcast, you run the Crash Couch, based on The Expanse on Sci-Fi, which just our podcast just started up this week. Season 2 is coming February 1st, so check that out. You can catch up on season 1 on Amazon Prime. So, and your next show better not start with CC for the initials, or we're going to have problems.
Yeah. Hey, my name starts with a C. So obviously the two podcasts that I I host have to start with a C.
Oh, and nobody else is allowed in the Slack channel whose name begins with J.
Nope.
No.
like too I many. Keep telling people, you're glad that I don't go by my first name because it starts with J.
My middle name starts with J.
You're all fired. But Chris, before you got fired, yeah. And so seriously though, like what's your experience been looking back? Were there certain points at which you felt you were in over your head or certain challenges you had and anything exciting that you reflect back on that any of those, lots of different topics there for you to pick from.
Well, I could probably talk about a few things. The first thing is actually something that I'm not even sure you guys know, but my time with the Forcecast and Echo Base and my guest appearances and when I was a Patreon donor and would have a monthly part at the end of the show wasn't the first time I was on podcasts.
Okay.
The first time was in, let's see, I think it went from about the end of 2012, probably for close to a year, through 2013, of a soccer podcast that I did. I was contacted by someone, I think in probably early 2012, on Tumblr, of all places, to host or be a co-host on a soccer radio show that would be broadcast on some independent station that's in New York. It's called Goal Chatter, actually. And
of course it is.
Yeah. Which is, it's funny given, you know, given where we're at now.
Right.
You know, sue them for copyright infringement.
I did that for probably close to a year with her and our other co-hosts. And looking back, I didn't have a decent mic, so I was talking through my computer microphone, which is awful. I was terrible, you know, with the ums and the, I'm still bad with the ums, but I was bad with that. I didn't know when to talk, you know, and given that we'd also streamed this live and then, you know, for people later on was to download later on was, you know, nerve wracking as all get out. But eventually I got too wound up with school and unfortunately had to quit that. And then it eventually went on hiatus and the show itself isn't or hasn't returned as far as I know. But there is still a like a blog that Alex, who is the kind of the founder of it, she runs it. And it's such, if you like soccer, it's a really, she has a really interesting opinion on a lot of good topics. So thanks and shout out to her. So
cool.
But regarding, you know, random chatter and Forcecast and all of that stuff, I remember how awful and nervous I was the time that I first talked to you, Eric, and Eric Geller and Justin Bolger too on my Patreon bonus stuff. That, like, looking back, I can't believe that was, you know, actually broadcast to, you know, thousands of listeners. Honestly, I'm surprised I didn't, you guys didn't get hate mail from, hey, who's that guy?
No, no, you did all right.
But I remember that was nerve wracking. And, then there was the time at, you know, when we get to Celebration and I was too much of a newbie with TFN at the time to get into like get a media badge or exhibitor badge or anything. So I had to, you know, pay my way completely to California.
Yeah.
But thankfully, thanks to the powers that be, I was able to get into the convention hall early, before everyone else. And I remember I had my backpack and I was sitting at the TFN booth and the little enclosed thing with the curtains. And I was just sitting there on my computer and I heard Lou talking, but I couldn't see him.
That's for the best. That's for the best.
Wow.
Then I heard Eric talking and I couldn't see them. And I was like, wait a minute. I know those voices from somewhere. you know, and then both of you come out from like behind some kind of curtain or something. I'm like, that's what you guys look like. And that's what that's what it's like to hear you talk and watch your mouth move at the same time.
And then Chris is like, and I paid all this money and yeah. That's what they look like.
The head doesn't look right at all.
No. You know, I'm really glad that you got there too, because, you already had some involvement, especially with the force.net, more through the mm-hmm. website. And, it was kind of through that experience with you at the convention where we learned, hey, you know, this guy knows what he's doing. He's on top of things. He's a hard worker. He, you know, why are we not inviting him in to partake in more of this? And
right.
It just kind of exploded from there.
Yeah. I wasn't even expecting to be on the mic, to be honest with you. I remember I was just kind of like standing around, I was taking pictures and, you know, hooking wires up and all that. And then y'all were talking and, you know, I was just kind of listening and, you know, like I usually did. And then the TFA trailer dropped and we, you know, we talked about that and did a frame by frame live reaction to it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Remember that,
which was fun. I don't know. It's just been a really interesting ride so far. And thinking back, it's weird that, you know, despite all of the changes that, you know, the three of us have been through, I think everything has really worked out for the best. And I'm really excited for 2017, given that, you know, some of the stuff that we have coming up, both announced and unannounced. So,
yeah.
I honestly, when I listened to the Forcecast for the very first time, which is actually also a funny story because I know I'm rambling here, but I was listening. It was 2013 because it was right after the announcement of the Lucasfilm purchase
right.
had occurred, and I was sitting in my room. And I never listened to a podcast before, and I just happened to be browsing Twitter, and I saw something about the Forcecast and how it was related to the Force.net, and how they were talking about how should the big three be handled in episode 7. I was like, oh, I'm curious about that. Well, then I found out it was a 45-minute long podcast. I'm like, I couldn't sit here and no. listen to some, you know,
I know
weirdos
I couldn't.
Talk about... Star Wars for 45 minutes to an hour. But I was like, well, I'm going to give it a chance. So I started listening to it and I got like 10 minutes in and then my computer died. So I didn't get to, and then that was a deal with the motherboard. So it wasn't just a, you know, unplug it and plug it back up and turn it back on and it'll be fine.
Right.
I actually didn't start listening to it until, I think later at the start of fall 2013 is when I became a active listener. So when I did that, I never ever figured that I would, you know, be a part of the network or, you know, even a part of, you know, its spiritual successor.
Right. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Your computer apparently had very good taste. It heard the beginning of the show and just completely crapped out on you, committed suicide.
Yeah, it was a bad night.
I bet. Well, you know, you mentioned what's coming ahead in 2017. Lou, unless you've got anything else you want to throw in here.
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would also like to say thanks to not only you two, but... Everybody that is on the Random Chatter Network or has previously been on the Random Chatter Network or Forcecast or, you know, whatever, and all of our listeners for not only dealing with me, but dealing with, you know, everyone and all of the, all of the, either be good things, bad things, drama, lack of drama, pretty much anything that relates to us. I'm just glad that, you know, y'all have stuck around.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned show length. As I was going through a lot of those old episodes, most of them are 20 to 35 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
The shows were 35 minutes.
Short episode.
Those were the days.
The 35-minute episodes, those were the ones that were going over.
Sometimes our intros are 35 minutes long.
Right. Right. Yeah, well, we're fixing that. We got a new intro for Echo Base. New intro soon for The Outer Rim. Yeah, we're gonna try to shorten things as we add more shows to the network. I think it's a good idea to maybe shorten the ones we have a little bit so that people have an opportunity to sample more of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going to aim for that. But for the rest of this episode, we're going to look ahead a little bit to 2017. Now, we're mainly going to be looking at what we think is going to dominate in the box office in 2017 and kind of look at all of the movies that are coming up. There's one movie that has already been out in 2017 I want to take a quick look at. And that's Rogue One.
That's Lou? A 2016 movie. We don't need to talk about that.
Well, it did do okay in 2016. I don't. Do you guys remember what it opened at for its opening weekend?
It was less than 100 million, right?
Yeah. Well, like Lou said there was no way it was going to make more than 100 million. So, and certainly not half again that.
You know, now I will say this, that, you know, I am happy it did what it did. And I said that from the beginning. If it does more than I think it's going to do, I am excited about that. I am ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea it was going to do what it's done.
But you did know.
$477 million.
The one thing you did know in advance was that if it did do better than you said it was going to, that we were going to rip you apart on the show. I mean, you did have that knowledge. Yeah.
Oh, no, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely.
$155 million opening weekend. Not too bad. And apparently, I don't have the exact...
No, you know, and people were saying, you know, 180, yeah, it's still not quite where it was. But yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I said it would. The top would be 180, and the bottom would be 140. And I think my estimation, I was actually predicting 160. So that's pretty darn close.
That's not bad. It's not bad. And I said, you know, I doubt it will break 100. If it does, I'm pretty sure it'll top out around 120. So yeah. I was definitely wrong.
And to be fair, a lot of, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is not the point of this segment, but a lot of people did say 120 would be the most it would do. So you are certainly not the only person.
Right. Yeah. And I am still amazed that it's, you know, it's obviously slowed down. It's not going to do much more than it's at right now, but I'm amazed at where it's at. I mean, 477. I did not think it was going to do half of what TFA did. It's a little more than half of TFA right now. I'm very surprised by that. I thought this wouldn't have anywhere near that level of draw, just because it wasn't the hype machine that TFA was. It didn't have that, hey, this is the first movie back. It's the first movie that Disney's doing. You know, it's all that stuff that made TFA such an amazing number. I'm still astounded it's doing what it's doing.
Now, I saw a stat, I think it was earlier today, maybe yesterday, that just boggled my mind. And that was that Rogue One is currently the number two Star Wars movie at the box office.
Yes.
Not adjusted for inflation. But so The Force Awakens, $936 million. So obviously that's the top by far. And number two, Rogue One with $477 million. And it's only been out for 3 weeks so far. Keep that in mind, too. Now, it's not got a lot of time left here domestically. And we're not expecting it to do all that well in China. But in 3 weeks, it's already the number two movie. The third... is Phantom Menace.
It's had 4 weekends in the theater.
Box Office Mojo's listing it at 3 weeks.
Well, it opened on, what, the 15th, 16th, you know, that time. Yeah, so it had the weekend of the 17th, area. The 24th, the 31st, and then this past weekend was the 7th. So it's had four weekends in the theater. I mean.
It says 24 days, 3 weeks. Well, yeah, maybe they need to adjust their stats. I don't know. I didn't know there was going to be math.
I can't be right on something. Give me a chance here.
There you go.
I can count weekends. I'm pretty sure I did that right.
Yeah. Episode one, $474 million. A New Hope was $460 million. Episodes two and three were both in, they were in the low and high 300s, respectively.
Yep.
So I'm really shocked that Rogue One is out of eight Star Wars well, I guess if you count the Clone Wars, 9 theatrical releases so far, that it's number 2. That's impressive.
I mean, some of that is dollars, too. Keep that in mind. But it's amazing what it's done. In fact, it's less than $10 million away from being the number one movie of 2016.
Yeah.
I imagine it will overtake Finding Dory in the next week before it's out of theaters.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty cool. That two years in a row, Star Wars will be the number one movie of the year.
And quite possibly 3 years. Now, we're not going to talk about episode 8 here on this show that much, because, of course, we have a podcast dedicated to that sort of thing. but looking ahead to 2017, I made a quick list here. If you want to follow along, if you go to Google and you just type in movies 2017, if you're doing it on a computer at least, at the top of your web browser, you'll see like a sliding gallery of all kinds of different movie posters and the individual movies coming out. But looking at this, just for comic book releases only, I'm just going to whip through the entire list here real quick, and then we can go back and discuss individual things. But comic book releases, we've got Justice League, Wonder Woman, both in the DC universe, Lego Batman, which calling it a comic book release is maybe a stretch, but still, yeah. It's Batman, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Logan, both from... No, Spider-Man's from Sony, Logan's from Fox. And then for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we've got Thor Ragnarok and Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's what, 7? 7 comic book films coming out over 12 months. That's a lot. That means, less than half of the year will we have a month where there's not a new tentpole comic book film.
Right.
I'm wondering if this may be the year that we overdose on superheroes, but I'll come back to that in a minute. The rest of the list here, the top 25 that I picked here, either for what I think will bring in a lot of money or will at least be notable. John Wick Chapter 2, Alien Covenant, obviously Star Wars Episode 8, Transformers The Last Knight, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, or as I like to call it, We Just Can't Let This Franchise Die, The Dark Tower, War for the Planet of the Apes, Beauty and the Beast, Power Rangers, Cars 3, Kong Skull Island, The Mummy, Ghost in the Shell, Triple X Return of Xander Cage, A Cure for Wellness, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, Despicable Me 3, Baywatch, T2 Trainspotting. I should have fixed that in the show notes. Yeah, not T2 as in Terminator 2. Not getting a remake of that one. T2 Trainspotting, World War Z 2, Jumanji, Pitch Perfect 3, The God Particle, The Emoji Movie, and The Fate of the Furious. Now, what's interesting is of those 25 movies, 4 are new properties.
Yeah, that's kind of amazing.
It's funny you say that, because that's what I was thinking of before we started the show, as I was looking at the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not much original content here. Although you missed one really big original content movie. The Emoji Movie's coming out in 2017.
No, I listed it there.
Did you? Oh, yep. I missed it. Yeah,
second to the last. Oh, it's your brain filtering out that information, like trying to proactively ignore it, as it should. It's a sign of a healthy brain. But I mean, even some of these that are not sequels to things are still adapted from novels. I mean, a lot of stuff gets adapted, but we're talking like adaptations of big name novels or series, like The Dark Tower.
Right. Yep. I'm looking forward to that.
I don't
could
know.
Could be a real dark horse.
I'm looking forward to it, but I've lost so much confidence in Stephen King stuff.
Stephen King involved with that still, or is it totally out of his hands?
Honestly, I don't know his level of involvement. I've kind of not paid much attention to the production of it or anything like that.
No, he was involved with Under the Dome too, and that went kind of wonky, so I don't know.
Well, yeah, and you've got The Cell.
Yeah.
Which the book just infuriated me, and then the movie was the movie fixed the problem with the book. The movie gave it an ending. Sort of. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it almost more out of curiosity. And I've had the entire series spoiled for, let me rephrase that. I've had the end of the series spoiled for me. And it made me very glad that I did not bother to read the series.
Really? No, yeah. I still haven't finished the series, but
it made me like having not I read the first three books, I think. And having had the ending of it spoiled for me still made me infuriated on behalf of those who had read the books and had stuck out the entire series. And I think I'm in the minority on that. I think most people liked it, but still. I'm looking through the rest of the things here. Beauty and the Beast is not technically a sequel, but it's a remake. Kong Skull Island, The Mummy, Ghost in the Shell is a remake of an anime.
Yeah, it's an adaptation. Yeah,
Baywatch of a TV series. Jumanji of another film. Yeah, everything in here is either a sequel or a remake. It's depressing. And
even the ones that aren't are adaptations of big popular, intellectual properties.
Right.
You know, 50 mm-hmm. Shades Darker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, which is also a sequel. It's a sequel and an adaptation of a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And part of me sounds like a hypocrite because I do want to see many of these. I want to see Episode 8. I want to see John Wick 2, Alien Covenant, Ghost in the Shell. I still haven't seen the second Planet of the Apes film just because I haven't gotten around to it yet. I want to. I liked the first one a lot. I'm looking forward to War of the Planet of the Apes. What else is on here?
God Particle might be interesting. It's not really,
now that's one of the unique ones.
Ish, maybe.
Well,
it's supposed to be in the same universe as. So.
That's kind of up in the air. But even then, like looking at 10 Cloverfield Lane, I would not call that a sequel to Cloverfield.
No.
I would call that a movie that takes place in that universe. But it's not really a prequel or a sequel. So, I mean, that's like saying Logan is a sequel to Deadpool. Well, not really. Takes place right. in the same universe, technically, but. But yeah, so it's one of those love-hate things. Like, I'm looking forward to a lot of these films, but I'd like to see more unique properties out there. But then when we do finally get something unique, half the time it doesn't get the investment. And so it doesn't get the good quality directors, or it doesn't get the budget it needs.
Right.
And so they turn out, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's, you have to do a sequel to get people into the box office, because when you do these original pieces, they just don't do well. Well, maybe if they got the same level of attention in production, they would do better. I don't know.
But I'm starting to think that these more original movies and the stuff that aren't part of like big budget franchises or action blockbuster stuff that may not be compelling from a filmmaking point of view, but is just good popcorn entertainment. I feel like we're getting to a point where those more independent original story ideas are going to be made either by companies like Netflix, or they will just they might be on the same scale, like budget wise, or the actors and actresses that are in it might be on the same scale as like one of the big budget movies, but for the most part they'll go by the wayside until they go on a streaming service like Netflix.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because so much has changed over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. It used to be, if you look back 10 years ago, something with 8 to 10 episodes was a miniseries.
Yep, right.
And now it seems like half of the new shows are 8 to 10 episodes long. And a lot of the ones that at least we within the geek community are interested in are on Hulu or Amazon Prime or Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost makes you wonder, is the miniseries the new movie?
Interesting concept.
You know, is this the new big feature? I mean, look at Daredevil. Look at Luke Cage. Look at Jessica Jones. Look at
The Expanse.
The Expanse. Wasn't even Netflix. That was
right. That was sci-fi. But you know, these stories are told in a more concise format than a 22 to 24 episode long season, where even your favorite shows have some real stinker episodes in them.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't get enough good content over 24 episodes sometimes to fill it out, and you get these filler episodes, I'll call them, or it's a episode where they ran out of budget and they had to do a bottle episode where they did the whole episode in a shuttlecraft or something, and it's
right.
It's frustrating when you get that continuity break between the overall arc of the story and just to fill up time.
And I think that also that's a benefit over movies, because when you have, you don't want too much time, like you were just saying, but this also gives you more time than you're going to have at an hour and a half to 2.5 hours in the theater. Look at Game of Thrones.
Right.
They're now looking at, I think, 7 episodes for this coming season and 6 episodes for the season after that. And then that's the end.
Mm-hmm.
They're sinking a lot of money into production, so you have to admit it's theatrical level production quality. And the directing, the writing, the acting, it's all top notch. It's exactly what you would expect to see out of a good tentpole film. And yet, despite the money that they're pouring into it, they're still making money back from it. They've got a rabid fan base. And by continuing to release episodes every week, you continue to engage that fan base. And so they become more interactive. They become more loyal. And if you look at the things where there are big fan communities out there, in the circles we travel in, look at sci-fi. So you've got Star Wars, which has been, all due respect to Clone Wars and Rebels, but to be fair, the fan community established itself through the films. You've got Star Trek, which was the opposite. That was through the TV series. You've got Doctor Who. You've got Game of Thrones has a very strong fan community behind it. With the exception of Star Wars, which is ironic, that's the one we're most involved in. These are all based on TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's not some merit to that. And yeah, I guess you could also argue the Marvel stuff. But, Marvel's also been a comic book publication house for decades and generations.
Yeah, there's history there, right.
So it's kind of hard to say how exactly that fits in. But I don't know. It's kind of a curious situation. Is it maybe better to release new things on television instead of the theater? You only have 2 hours to tell your story, and you got to hit it out of the park or you lose everybody. In a TV series, we talked about on our first episode of The Crash Couch, my opinion was that episode 2 of The Expanse was a little slower. And Chris, you said it kind of helped you granulate what exactly you need to be paying attention to. And it helped establish the relationship of the characters on the ship that we're supposed to be following.
Mm-hmm.
In the theater, that would have to fall by the wayside. You'd either have to keep the plot moving along, or you would have to sacrifice the plot for the sake of developing the characters. I mean, if you were to take the entire book of Leviathan Wakes and make a film out of it, everybody gets all excited. Oh, they're making a motion picture out of this. But looking at the TV series, they got through 10 episodes, and that's only half of the first book. I wouldn't want them to make a movie out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. It'd be too jammed in.
So nowadays you see so many movies and stuff being split up into two parts, and we can sit and talk about how much we dislike that or how it's just, money making and whatnot. But honestly, it's a better decision, at least from a story perspective. And I remember one of the first movies that I remember being heavily invested in that was split into two parts was the last Harry Potter movie.
Right.
And I don't believe that book was the longest of them all. I might be wrong, but I don't think it was the longest of them all. If it was, it wasn't by much. And it was split up into two parts. And looking back, it was probably for the best. But then I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe it, something like that was probably in today's market probably would have been better as like a miniseries.
Yeah,
similar maybe. To Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones would do wonderful in as a movie. It would make so much money, but you would have to split it up in an insane amount of movies.
Well, that's the thing. It would break the what makes it good.
Yeah.
All of the different political maneuvering that you get to see and happening, you'd have to instead focus on just a portion of it.
And if they did do it in movies, you know, from the beginning, there's no way you'd get anybody to sign on to do that level of detail in, you know, four or five or six movies.
Yeah.
The studios would laugh at them and say, no, there's no way. It's an unproven property. I mean, you know, we look at what's coming up for this year, and one of the sequels that Eric said he's looking forward to seeing is John Wick 2. And that was, you know, John Wick was an original movie.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, what did that do in the box office the first time around? I don't.
Badly.
Okay. And
I'll look it up.
That's what I thought, because, you know, it didn't hear a lot of hype. I kind of heard about word of mouth and saw it on video after the fact and loved it. And it's got such a great, following now. It's getting, episode 2, but, you know, a sequel movie to it. It just didn't make money the first time around, but now that it's got some backing behind it and some fan support, it's going to make more money in the second version.
Its opening weekend was $14 million, and its total domestic gross is 43.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's typical of movies that you see that don't have a big following. Even some that we saw last year that did have big followings that didn't do well. You're like, really? That's all that movie did? You know? And, I don't know. It's tough when you had a movie that was as well crafted as John Wick, action movie that, you know, does pretty well on its own, didn't do all that well.
So let me ask you this. Ready Player One is a book that relies both on the plot and on the characters and the different experiences the characters go through. I'm wondering if maybe this wouldn't be better as a TV series.
It would.
You think so?
Yep. And that is coming from someone who didn't even finish it.
Oh,
because it's so bad.
Finish it? You didn't like it?
What?
What?
No, what? Yeah.
Chris, congratulations. I'm hiring you back to the network again so I can fire you again.
Eric, hang up on him. Hang up on him. Wow. Didn't like it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, but Lou,
it might have been the fact that I was listening to the audiobook and it's narrated by Will Wheaton.
And I love the audiobook.
See, I here's
it,
the thing.
It took me a while to warm up to that.
Will Wheaton perfectly fit the tone of the character.
Yeah.
I was just I can't remember what my complaints were.
Oh yeah, I thought he did a fantastic job with that.
He did good for like the actual like reading and the narration. And for the most part, I think the way he, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to differentiate between characters and dialogue, but I think he did a good job with it. It was just, he reminded me too much of the character, and I started to imagine the character as an unlikable version of Will Wheaton, and I couldn't finish it. It was,
wow,
it was too much for me.
Hmm.
I mean, I see why you could say it could possibly be a better TV series than a movie, but I just have high hopes for the movie itself. I think it'll do really well if it's done right. And I'm kind of glad it's only a movie and not a TV series, because sometimes, you know, studios will drag out a TV series or kind of milk it. I mean, if it was done by Netflix, I'd be happy with it, but it would probably be done by a network, and that would mean it would be just ruined.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's important that I don't want to see them ruin it. And I hope that when it does come out, Chris, maybe you will appreciate the movie, even if you didn't appreciate the book.
Oh, I'm definitely going to see the movie, because I like the idea.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of the execution.
Yeah. go ahead.
I was just going to say it's kind of funny that we've been talking about this because for the longest time, whenever I have the discussion with someone about the Star Wars prequel movies, it always comes back to, you know, even with people that are huge fans of them, it always comes back to, okay, well, how could, even if we think that they're good, how could you have made them better? And I always say that they might have been better as a TV show.
I think the prequels would have been better as a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
and because
that...
all you have to see is, like, I don't know, the success of the Clone Wars from a storytelling perspective, and now right. Star Wars Rebels from a storytelling perspective,
right?
To see just how, mm-hmm. you know, how important that. That small time period and the continuing the you know, character development and moving of the plot, you know, it's a lot easier to do in, you know, 20 episode seasons,
right,
instead of 2.5 hours.
Well, and the other thing too is that, you know, Jar Jar bashing aside, when you really objectively look at the problems in the prequels, what it basically boiled down to for episodes 2 and 3, George just didn't have enough time to mm-hmm. show what he was trying to get across. The love story between Anakin and Padme in episode 2, and then the fall of Anakin in episode 3, both of those stories, which were crucial to the entire trilogy, were rushed. And I think that with the TV series, they could have done better with that. But we do need to wrap up this episode. But before we go, I want to know from you guys, if you had to pick 3 movies, and we're going to take Star Wars Episode 8 out of the running here because, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had to pick 3 movies that you think are going to, let's put it this way, 3 that you're going to watch how they perform, either because you're just so dedicated to the film or because you think they're really going to take home a killing at the box office. So you don't have to pick the 3 best performers or your 3 favorites. Kind of blend the two and pick the 3 that you're going to be paying the closest attention to.
Well, I'm looking at the list of movies on Google, so obviously there's probably something that I'm missing here.
Yeah, yeah. What we're looking at, the list we have in front of us is more the big releases, the tent poles. I'm sure there mm-hmm. are going to be some things that are going to sneak in under the radar, and I really hope there are. But yeah, so the list on Google, the big names that we mentioned, what do you think?
The 3 that I'm looking forward to in terms of how well they'll do in the box office and how good they will be would probably be Wonder Woman, Power Rangers, and I'm going to go with a surprise pick here. My 3rd one, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
Hmm.
Good pick. Now, for those who don't know, that's the one by Luc Besson, the guy who did mm-hmm. Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the surprise pick that I'm going to pick here as what I'm not probably the one I'm looking forward to most, but one that I didn't think I would be excited for is Alien Covenant.
Okay.
Hmm. Okay.
I want that as an honorable mention.
Good teaser for that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lou, teaser. What do you think?
Well, first off, I just want to say I'd be surprised if episode 8 does more than $100 million opening weekend.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, that's a stretch, really. 100? Come on.
Just kidding. Let's see. I think, like Chris, I'm going to put Wonder Woman in my list because the trailers look amazing, and I really want to see DC do something great.
Yeah.
I think that may be it. I am looking forward to Dark Tower just because I want to see how it plays out on the big screen. And let's see, I'm trying to think for a 3rd one. I mean, I really want to see, how Logan does. I mean, I wasn't interested in it before I saw the trailer. The trailer to me is pretty powerful, and I think that's going to be a very emotional movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Logan is really going to be one to watch just to see did they do it right or not.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have a few movies like that this year. Logan, both Wonder Woman and Justice League. Those are both going to be, you know, did they do it right? Mm-hmm. Or did they fall down the same hole they fell down before? My picks would be Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets. Like you, Chris, I think that I hope this is going to be a big surprise hit. What else? I'm going to say John Wick Chapter 2, just because I think it's going to be fun. And I'm curious to see how much better it does than the original did. So we've got one vote there for something that's not really on a lot of people's radar. Another one because I want to see how much the improvement over this over the first one, the second one is. And for a third one, I'm going to say Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because I think that that could be, aside from Episode 8, I think that could be probably the biggest box office hit of the summer. The first one was such a success. It was a surprise success. And I don't know. I think this one is either going to hit it out of the ballpark or it's going to suck and still rake in the cash. So those are my three. And the honorable mentions for me, again, would be anything that has sucked so far. And this is kind of their last chance at redemption. And that would be Logan and both of the DC movies, especially Justice League. I mean, Wonder Woman already looks pretty good, but Justice League is really like they gotta win.
Yeah, they have to.
They have to. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Random Chatter. We would like to know what you guys are looking forward to in 2017. So shoot us an email, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. And Chris, where can people find us online?
Well, we have a variety of ways you can find us online. We have our main website, randomchatter.com. We have our Facebook account. It's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We have our Twitter accounts. The network Twitter is @randomchatter, and then all of our shows have individual Twitters too. My Twitter is @thecurseofchris. Lou, what is your Twitter?
That's LouSecki.
And Eric, what is your Twitter?
Mine is Eric Blythe. That's ErikBlythe. And you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We've got a bunch of shows there, and we've got some more coming. In fact, one of the things we're going to be doing here in the next month or two is we're going to be taking the network feed. It's going to still remain the way it is, but we are going to be setting up categorized feeds. So we're going to have one for all of our Star Wars shows, and we're going to have one for all of our comic book and superhero related shows, such as all of the shows that Jay and Josh are doing. We're going to kind of subcategorize it a little bit. So if people are interested in the Star Wars stuff and not the other stuff, they can follow those. If they want all of the entertainment based stuff, but not the Star Wars, you know, et cetera. But in the meantime, check out randomchatter.com. We've got a whole plethora of shows there for you to enjoy. We also have a bunch of written content now on the site. So check that out. You can hear us live every week. It looks like it's going to be changing a little bit. Chris, your schedule is going to modify a little bit here pretty soon, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so by the end of the month, we might have a little bit different live schedule. But for right now, Monday nights and Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, you can hear us record live. Just go to randomchatter.com/live. And then finally, a shout out once again, as Chris mentioned at the top of the show, to all of our Patreon donors. We really appreciate the support you guys are giving us. All of our donors, even those who just donate $1, get into our Slack community. And then there are other perks available as well. For more information, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. And that is it. Thank you for hanging out with us. We are looking forward to an excellent 2017, and we are excited to share it with all of you. Until next week, take care.